Welcome to the Total Wealth Academy radio show, where wealth includes much more than just money. It includes family, fitness, romance, and all the other parts of a balanced life. Listen and learn how 70% of the millionaires in America made their money using real estate. Now your host, real estate investor and consultant, Steve Davis.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Trevor Davis, wealth coach at Total Wealth Academy, with the Wednesday radio show. Thank you all so much for all the requests for the book. If you want to get a free copy, a PDF of The Richest Man of Babylon, all you got to do is send me an email, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. That's trevor@totalwealthacademy.com, and just put in the subject line book or radio show, and I will send you that free PDF, lickety-split. Now, been starting my show with the Einstein quote, which is, "A measure of intelligence is the ability to change." So I hope after listening to the radio show now, this is the fifth one I've done, that you found even just one thing to change and you've taken action on doing those changes. And believe me, I know from my own human experience that doing something different is typically the scariest thing that we can do, because we're hardwired to do the same things over and over again through our habits. And the whole purpose of cultivating this knowledge and cultivating the principles that we teach in the show is to replace the bad habits with the good ones. So our day-to-day actions are ones that lead us to positive results and don't lead us to the other side, which is the negative results, the stuff that we really don't want. And even if it's an action that seems like it'll make us happy in the short term, it's typically stuff that ends up making us be unhappy in the long term. You know, I talked about the procrastination that so many of us, and myself being no exception, and nobody that I've ever met being an exception to. We've all procrastinated on something. There's probably something we're procrastinating on now, but we have to be able to make a change and take action and not procrastinate on making that difference. We also like to talk about the map a lot. And when we talk about building a map, I think most of you know, if you're familiar with Steve, either you're a member here at Total Wealth or you're a friend with him on Facebook, but he loves to build Legos, and that's something that he imparted to me ever since I was a little kid, and I love Legos too. I mean, I can go through a set that's 1,000 pieces within 30 minutes or less. I'm very, very fast at building these Legos, and it's absolutely fun. So we talk about, if we're trying to build a Lego set, let's imagine we were trying to build the Eiffel Tower Lego set, which, depending on which one you get, it could be huge, it could be smaller, but we're trying to build the Eiffel Tower, and for whatever reason, we have a set that has, we have a direction to build it that's got same types of pieces, same color, everything, but it's going to be building just like a regular office building tower. So by the time we're done and we followed these directions, we were trying to build the Eiffel Tower. That's what we believed. And we end up with just a regular old office building. And that's because we were using the wrong directions. We were using the wrong map. And of course, in this oversimplified example, you're going to know way before you're finished that, hey, this is not the Eiffel Tower. These directions are clearly wrong. There's something wrong here. I need to go get the correct directions. But most of us are doing something very similar with our lives and our livelihood and financial situation, to where we could be saying we want to build an Eiffel Tower with our life, and we're going through this process and doing certain things that we believe we should be doing, and we're building up this rectangular shape that's just going straight from the bottom to the top, and it looks like an office building. It's, however, let's say we're 30 years old, like I am, so we're 30% of the way up if we live to 100, and it's an office building. Are we going to keep using these directions even though we haven't gotten all the way to the end? Definitely not, because it's clear that this is an office building. It's clear that this map is not working. So we have to go out and reach out to Lego and make sure that they get you the correct set of instructions. And for anybody that's built Legos, it's basically guaranteed that you're going to have all the pieces correct, you're going to have the instructions correct, but this is the way I like to put it. because you can see how it's developing. You can see what the results have been so far. And if it's not on track to get you the ultimate result that you want, you're going to have to be willing to get the correct map, because the regular old map that most of us are on right now does not work. It's getting us frustrated. It's getting us annoyed. It's making us mad at people when we know we're not really mad at them. We're just lashing out because we know that there's something very wrong with the actions that we're taking on a regular basis. I do also want to let people know that if you want to call in, please give us a call at 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738, KSEV. So if you have any questions about what I've gone over previously or what I'm going to be going over today, please give us a call. It's easy as just picking up your phone and dialing those numbers, and you are connected straight to us, the radio. Now, something really cool that Angelo, our multifamily consultant, sent to us today was an article comparing real estate versus stocks. Now, during our free sample class, we go in detail over why we're putting our money into real estate. And what that's really establishing is there's tons of different options out there to invest your money. You know, we could be doing stocks. We could be doing cryptocurrency. We could be investing in restaurants. Tons of different things you could be doing with your money to invest in a semi-passive or passive way. But why is it that we believe that real estate is going to be the best thing for people? And as it just said right at the beginning of the show before I came on, it's right around 90% of the people around the world are using real estate to build most of their wealth. And in this country, it's more like 80%, because there's more opportunities to build wealth besides real estate. But that's it in a nutshell. It's not because we're passionate real estate investors, as funny as that is to hear on a show about real estate, amongst other things. But that's not my passion. That's not Steve's passion either. The passion is getting to financial independence. The passion is teaching people how to get to financial independence as well. That's the reason why we're here at Total Wealth Academy. Now, we looked at this article that Angelo sent us, and it was extremely interesting because this person was going to their financial planner to get some input on their financial situation, to basically say, hey, I need a third-party objective opinion as to where I am at financially. Now, looks like this person is middle-aged, according to this article. It looks like they're about, an age is not actually established, but let's just assume that they're 45, 50. And they have a real estate portfolio. They don't have any other investments besides the real estate. And they're making money off of medical office buildings, and they're making a very solid return on a monthly basis. So what we're seeing here is that they're making a solid 14%, but the financial planners are telling them something very interesting, which I will explain once we get back.
Were you told that it's normal to lose money in a down market? That's just not true. Hi, I'm Steve Davis, CEO of Total Wealth Academy. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets while creating a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. If you have $100,000 or more to invest, you should consider this to protect and grow your money. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com, that's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Trevor Davis, Total Wealth Academy radio show. I was just about to get started into this article that Angelo sent us today. And Angelo is our multifamily consultant here at Total Wealth Academy. And this was an article from a question of somebody. And this was published just 2 days ago, so April 4th, 2022. And what goes at the top is this: I was earning 14% on a real estate investment, but all the financial advisors I interviewed wanted me to sell it all and invest in stocks instead. What gives? So it's a nice, thorough article. It's well written. The response is very, very good. And it gives a very fair shake to the information that was given. It's not really biased in either direction in terms of stocks or real estate, in my opinion. So seems to be a fair article written by a fair hand. So this person is earning 14% a month on their real estate investment in medical office buildings. And that's before the capital gains on the buildings. So we're not even considering everything else that goes into this deal. We're looking at 14% already. Now, the financial advisors that this person talked to, across the board, according to the email, they were all telling this person to go out, sell that real estate, and put it into stock investments. Now, the article starts to explain why in the world would every single person say this if they're already making 14% on it a month before the capital gains. You know, what is the big deal? Why would they want to take it out from something that's objectively effective, that is truly making a significant return on the investment? Why would they want to basically fix something that's not broken? Now, the first thing that the person says is they're a little skeptical. The response is basically saying, well, yeah, you are making a good return on this, so that's a little bit questionable right off the bat. And you have to consider that, as we love our financial advisors here at Total Wealth Academy, the financial advisors in most situations are paid on a commission system of some type that is based on the number of assets that they manage. So if they're going to be able to take that money and put it into a large number of assets and do the whole diversification thing across a stock portfolio, that's going to enhance the benefit for them, but it might not necessarily give you the best benefit in that situation. So they're going to increase their commission, you know, month by month, year by year, because they put it in stocks and they took it away from your real estate portfolio. So we have to ask ourselves in this situation, what is the interest that advisor has in this particular situation? If they have an interest that benefits them, they have an incentive to give you information that won't necessarily be in your best interest because of this commission situation. They don't, you know, a good financial advisor would be somebody that's able to help you make more money, or at the very least, maintain the assets that you have. That's what I would consider for a financial advisor. Make me more money, or allow me to maintain what I have so I don't lose it for whatever reason. So they have a personal stake in that decision. That is how this article starts off. Quite skeptical of that. So you have to be very careful when handling this information around most financial advisors, because their interest is going to be with getting most of those assets into things that allow them to boost their commissions, because in that commission system, they're going to get more money based on the number of assets that they have managed in their portfolio across everybody that they're taking care of. The second point was a little bit of an odd one, because we don't really know if this is going to be true or not. But the person writing this answer to the email was asking, basically, could they have been saying, all of these financial advisors be saying, put into the stocks because maybe that 14% was not accurate? And my concern right off of the bat with that is just, well, we would need, of course, to see exactly where they're getting that 14%. But my guess here is that if they can identify that they're making 14% a month before capital gains, that sounds like they know what they're doing. If they're investing in medical office buildings, that's not just grabbing, that's more complex than grabbing a couple single family houses, that's for sure. So I'm just going to make the assumption there and assume that this person knows what they're doing, knows what they're talking about, knows how to manage it to get that strong 14% a month before the capital gains. Then they offered, could it be because the costs are too high? Is there some sort of thing that they saw across the board with every financial advisor that this person talked to that said, these are your costs, this is where they're going to go up, so it looks like it's not going to be viable for the future? Well, I really have to call BS on that, because they're already making a ton on it. They're making the 14% before the capital gains again. So what could they have seen that literally would make them say, you'd go to stocks from this very profitable real estate deal? You know, if they were saying, hey, maybe the medical office buildings in this part of our state are going to see this effect that will negatively impact your cash flow, so it might be a good idea to take some of it out from those buildings and put it into single family portfolio or a apartment portfolio or storage unit portfolio. None of them were saying that, though. None of them brought anything up about the market for medical office buildings. All of them were just saying, put it into stocks. So you can make the stock market's average, which is, every time I see it, it's 6 to 7%. That's been the average over the last decade. And then you don't have to deal with the three T's, which is tenants, taxes, and toilets. The infamous three T's, to where your tenants are going to be a nightmare, paying taxes on property is going to be a nightmare, and fixing a toilet is going to be a nightmare. It's like, everybody has been a tenant sooner. Most of us have been tenants, and there are tons of good tenants. And as long as you're qualifying them correctly and managing them correctly as a proper landlord, you're not going to have a huge problem with the tenant. Yes, there's going to be that random one that does end up making a problem, but that is extremely few and far between, especially when you're doing your stuff correctly. You're making sure that they've got the income. You're making sure that you're doing your criminal background checks correctly. So you're not getting people into your properties that are going to wreck up the place. Then taxes. You know, we're paying taxes whether we like it or not. You pay taxes on your income. You pay taxes when you get gas. You're paying taxes when you go to the grocery store. You're paying taxes when you go to Target and Walmart. You're paying taxes when you shop on Amazon. There's taxes everywhere. So people will get wise and they say, well, I'm going to pay off my house so I don't have a bill anymore. Okay. So you don't have a mortgage anymore, right? But what do you still have to pay every single year, whether you have a mortgage or not? You have to pay your taxes on the property. So whether you like it or not, you are going to have a cost every single year on that property that you have to pay for ownership. And fact of the matter is, you're going to be paying that tax whether you're a renter or an owner, because if you're a renter, you're paying that tax through your rent rate. So it's going to get paid no matter what, but you're never going to have no bills on your own house. So that's just, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to say is a problem, because it's just all, it's always going to be there. And then the toilets. If you go into a single family rental house and you don't fix the stuff that you have to fix as a landlord when it's rented, you are going to get yourself into serious crap sooner or later. Because if you take a house and you slumlord it, you don't fix the toilet, you don't fix the AC, you don't fix the foundation and the roof up front, because you just didn't want to, you were trying to save money, or you just didn't analyze the property correctly, or didn't get a competent contractor to give you a full estimate, you end up having to pay that money out of pocket later, and that's on you at that point, because you didn't correctly analyze the deal and find out exactly what it needed to be fixed up to be in perfect shape for the tenant to move in with. So if something does break, it's going to be pretty hard for the tenant to get away with it, because in that situation, hey, if it ends up being just faulty stuff, you know, it's clear it was just a faulty piece of equipment, but it becomes easier to identify when it is something that the tenant ended up breaking. When you know that you fixed this house all the way up to the maximum level of perfection it could be. So you can identify, say, hey, this scratch on this toilet, that wasn't there. Here's a picture that proves it. Hey, here's this part of the wall that's got all these stains on it now. That wasn't there when you moved in, so this is clearly your responsibility. So don't fall for the trap of the three T's. Don't believe that real estate landlords are suffering from tenants, taxes, and toilets. That's just not true. And the bigger suffering here, though, that most financial planners aren't going to identify is what happens to stock portfolios when the market crashes? Do they go up in value or do they go down in value? Of course, they go down in value. So stock people are always praying for the up market and never for a down market. But it's very different when you invest in real estate. So once we get back, we'll keep expanding on this article. Thank y'all so much for tuning in today. See you after the break.
If you have a financial planner, ask them these two questions. One, will I lose money in a down market? Two, do I still pay you if I lose money? If the answer to either question is yes, fire them and come see us. Our clients make money in both the up and down markets and create a lifetime income stream with passive real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and click the free sample class button. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Total Wealth Academy radio show. This is Trevor Davis, and we were expanding on this article. And we were just basically going over the three T's, which are ridiculous when it comes to real estate. The three T's of fear, the tenants, taxes, and toilets. And we were going over, as an extrapolation of the 14% calculation per month. And another part of this article, and this is where this article starts to take a turn from really, really good to questionable. But they're basically saying that the financial advisors could have possibly been saying take it out of real estate and put it into stocks because this person that was investing in real estate was incorrectly calculating their 14% rate. And I'm still skeptical of this because I just don't believe that somebody who's invested in medical office buildings and knows that they're making 14% before their capital gains, that doesn't seem like somebody that doesn't know what they're doing or doesn't know how to make this calculation. Then this is where it gets really bonkers. But they're saying that many real estate investors don't know how to calculate their rate of return. And most real estate investors just love their monthly checks and their depreciation deduction because they think it's free money and they view it as their profit. That's not what we teach here at Total Wealth Academy, at the very least. A monthly check is awesome, but a monthly check that's making you cash flow is a whole lot better. I mean, if you're going to get into a property of any type, you have to know up front if that rent rate is going to cover all of your expenses to the extent that it also gives you cash flow on a monthly basis. That is a fundamental part of doing a deal analysis. If I'm going to say I'm going to invest this money into a single family rental, okay, what are the houses that are renting in the neighborhood renting for? Okay, it's averaging $1,500 for a house just like this. My total expenses will be right around $1,100. That'll be my principal and interest, taxes and insurance, and some accounted there for maintenance and vacancy. So I would be looking at $400 a month in cash flow. That's right around what you want to see. You want to see a strong $300 to $400 per month in cash flow for a single family rental house. So if we're seeing that, we know that this is a deal that functions well as a cash flowing property. And of course, you want to analyze it for your equity capture. You want to analyze it for your principal pay down and appreciation. But that stuff is going to be there whether you like it or not. The cash flow is something that you have to really make by identifying, is that rent rate there? And if it's not, then it's not going to be good for this rental deal. So please move on to something else. Don't get your ego involved and get yourself into a deal just to get into a deal. Do not make that mistake ever. Now, what we're seeing after that assertion that this person could be confusing all of their profit and cash flow into this 14%, that I just don't buy it. So I think that's ridiculous. I think that's a ridiculous assertion that somehow the financial advisors that are only telling him or her to go into stocks are somehow more confident to identify that it's not 14%. I just think that's ludicrous. I think that's a very, very irrelevant point. The next thing, so point three that they were suggesting that the financial planners got into was that this person wasn't diversified, that this person needed to diversify their assets and get into things other than medical office buildings. What is the interest in this situation if somebody is succeeding spectacularly in medical office buildings? What is the interest here in telling them that they need to diversify? You know, that is something, that's just one of those things that sounds extremely good to say, but doesn't make a whole lot of sense when actually applied. Because you can't just say diversify if what you're already in is working perfectly. Like, what's the problem in this situation? Like, why would you need to diversify? What is the exact reason why somebody who's making 14% a month needs to get out of the medical office building industry? What is going to be the good purpose of that? If there's something that they can identify that says, like I said in the previous segment, something is going to negatively affect medical office buildings and the landlords. Okay, show me the information on it. Show me the pattern that's happened in other places. Okay, I can see where it's matching up. Okay, I can definitely see that I should cut back a little bit on that and go into a different type of real estate as well. But to say that you're going to go from 14% a month in medical office buildings to 6 to 7% in stocks, you know, just cut your rate of return in half. Why don't you? Because now you're diversified and now you're safer, I guess. I mean, I can't say that you're making more money, because wouldn't that be the point of switching up an asset to make more money? That doesn't make any sense. And then your money is in the stock market where you have no control of it. It's glorified gambling, in my opinion, because you're trying to bet on your money and bet that it's going to be purchased at a low value, and you're going to be able to sell it in a high market with a high value. And you have no control of whether it does so or not. You can't do insider trading because that's illegal. You can't get tips on what is actually happening in that sense. So it's glorified gambling, in my humble opinion. And that's a hill I'm going to have to fight on. If you have any questions, please give us a call, 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. And just pick up the phone and call if you have any questions about what we're going over. Fourth point, after diversification, was that financial advisors are primarily trained in traditional assets, aka stocks. This is absolutely true. And this is something I've already known from experience in talking with financial advisors, that they are there for the purpose of getting people's money into corporate America again. So somebody is going to work for corporate America, whichever company it is, however big or small it is, and they're going to work and they're going to save up their tens of thousands of dollars in their bank accounts or their 401ks, whatever, and they want to direct it, and they want that money to go back to corporate America. You know, corporate America is not happy enough having you work your butt off 40, 50, 60 hours a week until you're retired and you can't do anything anymore, and you certainly are too old to even care anymore or have the energy to take action on making a difference. And they want you to put your investing money in with them too. They want everything from you. They're going to try and get as much as they can. So they're set out with these folks in the financial advising industry to sell you stocks. They're not educated in real estate. They're probably not educated in anything else in most situations but stocks. And their interest here is, as I said in the first part of this discussion, their interest is to get as many assets in their portfolio as possible. What's an easy way to do that? By taking a stock portfolio, assembling a stock portfolio, diversifying the brains out of it, so you've got dozens of assets that you can put on your portfolio to show your financial advising company that you're managing versus just one single medical office building for whatever that counts for, which is nothing in most financial advising companies. They don't care if you're putting your clients' assets into real estate, because that's not what you're getting a commission on. The financial advisor is getting a commission on putting your money into stocks. Now, the advice that this article offers is, if you're going to take the advice of a formally trained financial advisor, you have to do the obvious, which is to qualify their experience. I say it's obvious, but it's not obvious to most people, and it's not common sense to most people, because most people are going straight to a financial advisor, not asking any hard pounding questions sometimes, because sometimes, you know, that's a little confrontational. Like, what have you done in stocks if you want to invest in stocks? What have you done in real estate if you want to get advice on real estate? What is it that you've done to retire yourself? And you get to a certain point where, if you're going to take advice from someone who's trying to say, like, hey, I'm the one who can retire you, have they been able to retire themselves? Most likely not, because they're working a job that's going to pay them on average $60,000 a year as a financial advisor. And what are their qualifications? Training to learn about how the financial system works, training to understand how stocks work. But there's not exactly a qualification in there that says, hey, this person needs to have gotten this amount of income from their stock portfolio, this person needs to have this amount of wealth in their bank account from stocks or real estate, if you want to get into real estate. And then finally, this article mentions that if you really want to be safe in this situation, you have to go to somebody that's a fee-only planner or a fiduciary, because they're going to be obligated to put your interests first. They don't have some sort of commission that's going to incentivize them to make you make decisions that aren't in your best interest. So in the final segment, we're going to wrap up with that and start going into the ego and how you can take action with even the biggest ego in the world.
Hi, this is Steve Davis of the Total Wealth Academy radio show. Most people think they need hundreds of thousands of dollars to successfully invest in real estate. That's simply not true. If you have $100,000 or more, you can begin passive investing today. No worrying with contractors or tenants, and you get all the benefits of real estate investing. To find out more, please attend our free sample class live or online. Visit TotalWealthAcademy.com. That's TotalWealthAcademy.com, and click the free sample class button. Thank you.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Trevor Davis, the Total Wealth Academy radio show. This is our final segment. We just went over all the details about that really odd collection of advice given to somebody that was very successful in real estate. It's almost to me like my conclusion is, could they have not just told this person, great job, you know, keep doing what you're doing, because we may not understand it completely, but when you're making that 14% a month before your capital gains are even accounted for, you know, you're doing a good job. Like, just give them credit and shut up. Like, that person was doing exactly what they needed to be doing. They were succeeding at what they needed to be doing. Don't open your mouth just to give them some advice when you're not qualified to do it. Now, if you have any questions about what I've gone over, please don't hesitate to call 281-558-5738. That's 281-558-5738. And if you want to get a free copy of The Richest Man in Babylon PDF, just send me an email, trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. That's trevor@totalwealthacademy.com. The last thing I want to go over today is a point from psychology. It's a point that we love to address because ultimately what we're doing on a daily basis comes from our psychology. And the research of psychology is all about explaining why in the world people do the things that they do. You know, why do people do normal things? Why do people do bonkers stuff? Why does somebody become the leader of Russia and decide to invade a country right next door? Why do people do this crazy stuff? All of this is the objective of psychology. Now, everybody at this point knows Sigmund Freud, and they know his research into the early field of psychology as it just started to be a thing in the late 1800s. And this man lived to the year 1936. He was born in 1859. Now, during his experience in psychology, he identified three parts of the human personality called the id, the ego, and the superego. And the ego is the one that has gotten the most popular, the most mainstream knowledge, and it's what we have basically all created our own definition of, that not necessarily the strict Freudian definition. And I don't have a problem with that, because terms evolve, terms change, English evolves, English changes, and we're able to set our own definitions of certain things, or at least bend them as time goes on. But this is still a psychological point that we call the ego. And my definition of ego is the part of you, the part of your personality that is attached to your own perfect world. It's the part of you that wants to be respected 100% of the time. It's the part of you that wants to be considered handsome or beautiful to every other person in the world. It's the part of you that wants to be considered the smartest person in the world, or the most powerful, or the most memorable. You know, Napoleon, once you study him, it's basically comes down to wanting to be remembered. It's like he didn't want to just be live through life as just a regular person. He wanted to literally make a huge impact, and for better or worse, he did. And he's someone that's so famous, even just his first name identifies exactly who he is. You know, that's on the level of Jesus. That's on the level of Gandhi. That is just the sort of thing that he wanted, which is mostly in many ways for the worse, because he caused a lot of destruction. But to be fair, he did do some good things, but it was a whole lot of war, a whole lot of bad, just to be remembered. So a lot of people got hurt in that process. So if the ego is a part of you that is attached to your own perfect world, someone like Napoleon wanted to make sure that they were respected in life. They were considered the strongest and most powerful in life. So they've attached their ego to that view of a world that is perfect, to where they are perceived that way all the time. So we're organizing our brains in a way that's defending our ego on a regular basis. Because whether we like this or not, the world is not perfect, only to the extent that it's imperfect according to our own vision of a perfect world. And let's just pretend that the world could be perfect. But even if it were, or even if it could be, it's not going to be exactly what we want. Because our brains are smart, our brains are very active, our brains are identifying things that happen on a daily basis that we just don't plan want to happen. Even if it's a tiny little thing, like, hey, someone cut you off in the road, or you went to a restaurant and they didn't have the sauce that they're supposed to have for your burger. It's just, it can be as ridiculous as that sometimes to set people off on an ego tantrum. And there are the big things that our ego gets conflicted with. Like if somebody wants to be considered rich and wealthy, so they're not rich and wealthy by an objective definition, and they're not making a high level of income, and they're not making any passive income or semi-passive income from assets. And they decide to go out, and just for example, this is something that maybe some of us are familiar with, but they go out and purchase a really expensive car. They go out and they purchase the Mustang, or they purchase the Corvette, or, you know, however much they can afford. But they buy a car that's very expensive, it's very flashy, it's not something they can really afford, but they want to look like they're wealthy. They want to appear to other people that they've gotten these results. But in reality, they haven't. The reality of this world is that they spent all of their savings on the down payment for this car. And now they have a huge chunk of their monthly income taken up on the payment for this vehicle. Just to look like they can afford it. Just to be able to roll up to the club or the bar or wherever they like hanging out and try and get a connection with somebody. Try and pick up the cool person that they really like. But the reality here is that they're not at that financial position that they can be in to just purchase the car outright, to actually be able to get another car like it if they want to. But above all, they don't have an income stream that's paying for that vehicle that doesn't require them to work 40, 50, 60 hours a week. All of their income is from a regular job, and a ton of that income is being consumed by a flashy symbol designed to satisfy the ego, because this person wants to look flashy. They want to look rich, but they're not. So we call the ego the 800-pound gorilla in the room. And for some of us that may be telling themselves that they don't have an ego, that is absolutely not the case, because all of us have an ego. All of us have a part of our personality, you know, whether it's in control of our behavior or not, that is attached to our own little perfect world. Little, big, or small, whatever. We have an image of a perfect world to where we're respected in this way. We're spoken to in this way. We have this amount of money. We have this type of partner. Whatever it is that your ego is attached to, it's attached to what you want your perfect world to be. We already know that the world is not perfect. We already know that there's pain in this world. We already know that, or most of us know that the process to getting to the point that our ego wants to be at is way more difficult than most of us have anticipated. There's going to be things that are going to knock you down sometimes on a daily basis. The goal here is to get out of those situations and get to a point to where we're achieving the goals that we set for ourselves. What we're doing in this process is not pretending like we're eliminating the ego. What we're doing is identifying that the ego is going to be there no matter what. So we put ourselves in control of our own ego and attach the ego to the right things. We're going to basically direct our ego as best as we possibly can, and this takes practice, but attach our ego away from stuff like a fancy car, away from stuff like a fancy house, and put it into first building up a financial income stream that gets us to the point to where we can buy whatever we really want to. Attaching your ego to something that truly matters, like having a great family and having a great relationship, and using that ego, which is going to build up passion in you, to direct you in a positive way instead of a distracting way that puts us on the wrong map that everybody else gets stuck on. So make sure you're taking care of your ego. Nurture it, but direct it. Be conscious of it and don't let it be in control of you. Thank y'all so much for tuning in today. This is Trevor Davis with the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show, and I will see y'all next Wednesday at 1 p.m., not 2 p.m., 1 p.m.
You've been listening to the Total Wealth Academy Radio Show. Please remember that this show is for entertainment purposes only and should not be construed as legal, tax, or investing advice. Always get a professional opinion before making any investment decisions. To find out more about coaching and consulting at Total Wealth Academy, visit TotalWealthAcademy.com and attend one of our free sample classes on real estate investing. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.